How long former Labour Party staffer Phil Quinn reckons Andrew Little will have left as the leader of the Labour Party. Phil Quinn is with me. Hello to you, Phil.
Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Would you replace the party leader so close to an election?
No, but I think there's a very better than even chance that they will. I couldn't agree with you more that the problems facing the party are far greater than any individual, and that the deficiencies that you outlined so articulately are ones that have been evident for a decade. This is nothing new. And unlike you, I saw the MOU from the outset as an existential threat to the Labor Party, because to me the MOU gives the Green Party license to raid Labor's vote, while severely constraining Labor's ability to say to the public, look, we're ready to govern. Because when you've got minnows like the Greens and New Zealand First wreaking havoc gleefully and picking up votes in the process, that really undermines the broader case, which is the case for a centre-left coalition. And I think what happened with Today is that her behaviour said to a large, while it helped among the sort of anti-establishment left Greens traditionally, you know, do well with it, you know, obviously alienated a large swathe of the country who, you know, find benefit fraud objectionable. They don't see it as a left or right issue. They see it as a right or wrong issue. And to them, they look at that and go, well, do we want to support a party in Labor that will rely on these people? So I think ultimately that was extremely predictable. That the MOU would cause grief for Labor while propelling the Greens forward. That's exactly how people like myself critiqued the deal to begin with, and certainly how it's played out.
Has it played out that way because of the nature of the Greens' leadership now, or do you think it was always going to play out this way?
I would never have expected an example as pristine as the one delivered by Matiria Today. I certainly predicted and expected that the Greens would take advantage of the MOU by running to Labor's left and scooping up that urban vote, which is basically all Labor's got left, since they've, you know, effectively surrendered any presence in outside of the main centre. So for the Greens to then raid Labor's last bastion of support in sort of among urban Liberals, you know, this is a real threat to Labor's long-term viability. And ultimately, the Greens, would they rather get 9% and go into government or get 15% in opposition? I think the answer is probably the latter. And that is the fundamental disconnect between Labor, a party of government, and the Greens, a party of special interests. And that's, you know, that to me, that was always coming down the pike. But as I said, there is no way to predict that Matiria Ture would put the flaws of the MOU on such graphic display, that she certainly has.
Would it serve Labor now, if they could, to do anything about that MOU? Could they sever it? Could they distance themselves from Greens this close to an election? Would that help or hinder them, do you think?
Well, I think the danger is that any drastic move in any direction, whether it's with respect to this issue or any other conceivable issue, they're going to get points deducted for opportunism. And the danger of Little responding in the wake of a round of terrible poll numbers is that the public will look at it and go, well, he's engaged in self-preservation. He's not sincere about it. The opportunity was presented in the first day or two after Today's revelations. That's when Little, I think, could have stepped up to the podium and really delivered a stinging rebuke and sent a clear message that Labor supports a robust welfare state, but it also insists on reciprocity, that the people who receive benefits from the government play their part and play by the rules. That was an opportunity, a so-called, in American politics, they call it a sister soldier moment, an opportunity for a party like Labor to really stake out a clear and principled position that will, you know, shape perceptions in a way that Little has, as you pointed out, failed to do. I mean, he simply hasn't connected with the electorate. But again, I think the danger of ditching late, of ditching Little at this juncture is that they either burn off Jacinda. In other words, they put Jacinda into the firing line for the last month of the campaign, only to have her defeated and diminished. Or they go for some kind of stopgap measure with a Twyford or maybe a Grant Robertson. And frankly, that's a shambles too. So I think there are very few good options, and it's hard to begrudge Labor caucus members feeling, as I know from direct conversations, feeling anxious, you know, about their prospects come the election. I caught it in a column this morning, a sort of a pre-traumatic stress disorder. There's sort of an election, you know, tinged anxiety that is inevitable when you're at 24%. I defy anyone to name a time in New Zealand history where either of the two major parties were at 24% and the leader wasn't under threat of being ditched. And, you know, Little, I think, coming out and, as you said, revealing his doubts, his self-doubts. While at a personal level I found it kind of affecting and somewhat admirable, I don't think politically it was especially smart, because it sends a message that, you know, he doesn't even think he's up to the job.
Phil Quinn, appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you. Former Labour Party staffer. A News Hub have just revealed two in the last...